This is Conor Lennon from UN News. There are positive signs that the government-led effort to end the deadly Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo has turned the corner, but there's no room for complacency. That's according to the UN's Emergency Ebola Response Coordinator, David Gressley, who was at UN headquarters on Wednesday to take part in a ministerial-level meeting to assess the more than year-long effort to end the second worst outbreak ever. He spoke to UN News' Matt Wells.
Well, I think we're kind of at a more promising place than we certainly were a few months ago when we saw a number of attacks against Ebola responders, particularly in the city of Butembo. Things have advanced. I think what the main difference now is that not only is there greater security for responders in Butembo, outside of Butembo and Beni, there are a lot of areas that were inaccessible in the past where a lot of groundwork has been done to try to gain community acceptance for the response, which has had a very positive impact. Getting into areas where the virus has circulated on a regular basis has allowed an effective response to follow. And we're seeing the cases decline, in some cases dramatically, from very high levels down to practically zero. So I'm increasingly optimistic with what we see in the Beni-Butembo area. We just need to see this extended to other areas where we're seeing the virus continue to circulate.
Now, a lot of different parts of the UN are involved in this effort, from health officials to blue helmets from the mission. Is the response as joined up and as coordinated as it needs to be from your perspective?
Well, coordination is always a work in progress, so I think it's coming along like I would like it to. There's always more that you can work together on, and we continue to find ways to better collaborate, share information. But I think there's a good spirit, and I think that the most important thing is that we've been able to drive that coordination down to the lowest level where it's most effective. It's really the people on the ground that make the difference. So whether it's WHO or it's UNICEF or the World Food Program, UNDP, UNFPA are all involved on this. IOM is involved on this. We're seeing really good collaboration. We want to bring our NGO partners on board, all, of course, supporting the government of the DRC, who continues to lead this response. And we're seeing, I would cite the city of Beni and the SORB coordination there, where I really think that has come together very nicely. And it's also where we're seeing the lowest level of transmission, despite the fact that this is where the epidemic generally began.
The World Health Organization Chief Dr. Tedros said on Wednesday that the risk of Ebola spreading across the border of DRC was still high. What are you and what's the UN doing to try and help this effort to limit the risk?
Well, the main way to do that, of course, is to eliminate the virus itself. This is a very urban area. People are surprised to hear that Butembo has more than a million people. These are large cities, and it's important to understand that. It's also a very mobile population, which allows movement between Beni and Butembo, but also to the Ugandan border to Goma quite easily, a 1 or 2 day trip, very routine. And that becomes the problem. So what needs to be done is two or three things, is good preparedness around the border areas, good preparedness in provinces adjacent in case the virus gets into that area. More importantly is really, let's just dry up the source of the virus in that central area that's been feeding into the Ugandan border, feeding into Goma, and then the threat will go down considerably.
On vaccination, there has been some criticism that the UN response has been a bit too cautious, too selective, and there needs now to be a much wider program initiated. What's your view on the right way ahead on that now?
Well, obviously vaccination is a very useful tool. I think it's also important to note that vaccination by itself is probably not sufficient to end the epidemic. It can put a brake on the spread, slow it down, but in itself it's probably not going to stop the epidemic. But it also, of course, saves lives. That's extremely important. So the best use of the vaccine is a constantly evolving question, how best to utilize that, which populations are at greatest risk. And I think, as Dr. Tedros says, we learn as we go along. And as we adapt, as we see the situation, as new tools become available, like the therapeutics, extremely important tool to add to the arsenal against Ebola. Bit by bit, we're making Ebola into a more normalized disease. And I think ultimately what we would like to see is that the Ebola treatment centers themselves be seen as a place where you go to get cured of Ebola, not die of Ebola, which is often the perception. That totally turns and transforms the psychological aspect of Ebola as a disease.
I mean, clearly there have been some serious obstacles to you being able to reach suspected cases and be able to clamp down on this outbreak. Most obviously, the ongoing violence at the hands of armed groups and the febrile political situation in that region. I mean, how's the effort going there in terms of countering that? And also, how successful has the effort been to try and win hearts and minds of people to get the trust of local people, especially in rural communities where they are, quite understandably, very, very distrustful of pretty much anybody in authority?
On the political side, I think the election of President Tshisekedi went a long ways to offsetting the politicization of Ebola back at the end of last year when the people of Beni Bitimba were not allowed to vote for the presidency. And there's, I think, a new opportunity, and you see it even talking with local militia groups, of an interest in finding a reconciliation with the government and a way to move forward. It's very early in that process, but it's a different attitude at this point in time that makes it a little bit easier to work with. So I think on the political side, some very positive things. Now, on the security side, it's a little bit different. It's a mix. You have, on the one hand, the Allied Defense Forces, a Ugandan-led group that's based in the DRC, that has used extreme means of attacks, not only on military and police targets, but civilian as well, terrorist acts, basically, and killing tens and sometimes hundreds of people. That's a very serious threat that disrupted the Ebola response late last year. That has been less of a problem since MONUSCO, together with the Congolese army, led an offensive against the group in late last year, November, which pushed them back far enough to no longer have a direct impact. But they remain in ongoing danger to the response, and military action will still be required to keep them at bay. The more domestic militia groups, locally known as Mai Mai, are a different kind of threat. They are very much embedded in the communities. They're not in opposition to the communities. They are very suspicious and distrustful of national security forces, which is where a problem comes. Often in the communities, there's a big distrust over the Ebola response itself. So it's a difficult combination, but not an impossible one. And engagement of the right people who have influence over leaders of these groups can make a difference to try to open up access. Quite frankly, where Ebola has circulated for a period of weeks and people have died from Ebola, that too demystifies and takes the myth away because people see it's real. And then it's another opportunity for engagement. It's a very tragic way for that to happen. But what we're seeing, particularly in the Beni Bitimbo area, is that many of the areas that were inaccessible where there was transmission, one by one, are opening up with acceptance. And that's the key, is acceptance. It's not overcoming insecurity. With acceptance, you get security. With acceptance, you get the ability to treat people. With acceptance, you get to bring this to an end. Most recently, in the city of Beni, there was one area, a health area, that had the highest rate of transmission of any health area in the country, twice that of the second highest. That was only a matter of weeks ago, at the beginning of August. By middle of August, with a lot of work on the ground with government and NGO and UN support, that area opened up to full acceptance. Now there's hardly any case of Ebola there. And one by one, we're seeing these health areas come around for that. And that's leading to what we're seeing on the dramatic decline in cases between Beni and Butembo, the very area that fed all these other localities in Uganda, Goma, on the Rwandan border and South Kivu. So we need to do now the same in Ituri province, which is now has the largest number of cases in the country, to gain the confidence and acceptance of populations there. That's incomplete, and that work it needs to intensify so that we can protect those communities, but also prevent the spread east and west from Ituri. I mean, that's a real threat as we speak today.
So what more support, what more help does the DRC government and the UN-led response need at this stage from the international community?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to note that the technical leadership of the government for the Ebola response is extremely well qualified. They know Ebola as well as anybody in the world, led by Professor Muyembe. So they have the technical expertise. What's required is the kind of support that I've described, of course, the financial support. Ongoing support and coordination locally, I think, is important. The neutrality and impartiality that a peacekeeping force brings that national security forces often cannot bring in that kind of environment. These are all different aspects that are important. What I think we need to see as well is a continued improvement in preparedness, both in the country and outside. We really don't want this to spread any further. And if it, the important thing is to detect early. If you detect early, rapid response is possible, and you close it down very, very quickly. So we need to make sure that happens. And the other thing that's really required is there's still areas that are inaccessible where there's no known transmission, but we're not sure because we're not there.
It's an endemic disease, of course, too.
Yeah. Well, it's not. There's no evidence that it's in these areas, but we should be there to make sure it has not come in and circulating quietly. Secondly, it would be good to get into these areas in the event that an infection does come into that area. Better to be there ahead of time, working with communities, supporting them in other ways, so that when the infection does come, we're in a far better position to deal with it quickly, rather than allowing it to come up as another hotspot.
So is it possible that the international emergency status that the disease has now, that the outbreak has it at this point, that that could be lifted at some time in the near future?
Well, as soon as it's eradicated and it's clear that it's eradicated, then of course that will be lifted at the appropriate time. I think we have several weeks at a minimum to go. We need to get probably well into the end of the year. There's a 42-day period at the end of the last case before it's finally declared. So we're weeks and weeks away from that. The one thing that's not required right now is complacency. Success is good, but it's incomplete and it's always at risk. And we can see an explosion of cases if we stop the kind of support that's going on. We need to be everywhere all the time with everything going. So we just need that kind of support internationally to keep it going until we finish the job. One last thing I would think that's important is that we need to start thinking about the post-Ebola period. It's not too early to do that. We need to start thinking what we're going to do to support, number one, survivors, because they will continue to have health problems after this is over. Secondly, there's the possibility that they still carry residual amounts of the virus. You can have new cases come up later on. So the surveillance system needs to be there to make sure that that's detected quickly. Probably more importantly is the recovery of the systems on the ground, whether it's health, education, that have been affected by this, and then a broader support to the public health system. The Ebola outbreak, the nature of this outbreak, is a function of poor governance and poor public health systems. If those causes are not dealt with effectively, then this whole thing could happen once again. So we have to go to the root cause of why this became such a large epidemic.